This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Sonia, it's me, Mario. Woohoo! You're number one. Woohoo! Hello to all of my friends on a sci-fi and scream on Joy 94.9. Number one. Woohoo!
One minute. The beach balls are fluttering in the air. The crowd is getting ready. They've got their lanyards on. There's a bit of clapping going on. Here we go. They're counting down. Counting down. They're getting restless. Here we go. And we're off. Here go the gamers. That was exciting. What they should have had is an elevated, like, platform, so they would fall off the edge like meerkat, you know, a bit of excitement. As long as no one gets hurt, of course. You know, we've got Alice in Wonderland, we've got quite a few Assassin's Creed's happening, and various other, I don't know what they are, characters. Ah, there's a Boba Fett and a Stormtrooper, and it looks like they've just flown in from Hawaii, wearing their tropical shirts. Yes. They look like a happy bunch, and they're flooding in. There's literally hundreds. Opening of 10 a.m., October the 31st. It's Halloween Eve here in Melbourne Town at the Convention Centre for PAX 2014.
I'm John O'Jerry, Geeked Out from the United States of America, sends much love to Sci-Fi and Squeam on Joy 94.9, the best LGBTQ radio show in all of Australia.
This is Benjamin Williams from GamerCon in San Francisco, and you're listening to Sci-Fi and Squeam on Joy 94.9.
And we have pinballs as well. It's Twilight Zone, Infinity Amusements, bringing back the pinball machine. Some retro ones here too. This is great. It's good to see. We've got Defiant Development, another Queensland outfit that Dylan interviewed a while back. They're here. So there's some really great local Australian designers and developers showing their wares off. A lot of them have done Kickstarter programs and possibles and campaigns and crowdfunding, and proven to be very successful. So it's looking absolutely brilliant and good on them. It's really good to support and see local developers coming from all over Australia to be here for PAX 2014. I don't want to get the crowd to stampede or anything.
That's okay.
What time is it?
Hello to all of my friends on a Sci-Fi and Squeam on Joy 94.9, number one. Woohoo!
This is Irana Gozi, a creator of Guitar Hero, Rock Band, and Dance Central, and you are listening to Sci-Fi and Squeam on Joy 94.9.
Is everyone excited?
Yes. Geek.
The only way to be on Sci-Fi and Squeam.
Joy 94.9.
This is Jody and Sean with Ben Kahn, and you're listening to Sci-Fi and Squeam on Joy 94.9.
This is quite fast. Despite all this simplification, the gameplay is still based on the principles of a real fleet. These principles helped us decide on a very important issue, the balance of the different warship types.
The most important thing was to elaborate on the idea of warship balance.
Oh, here's a tank over here.
Questions such as, why is this warship type in game? What are its strengths? What are its weaknesses? With which other types does it interact? And how does it interact with them? So we decided that the most effective principle is rock, paper, scissors. Well, everyone knows this game and how to play it. We just applied it to warships.
Lots of goodies, lots of toys, and these big mainframes, transparent mainframes, so you can see all the workings inside. See, I'm not a technical person. I don't know what I'm talking about. But all I can see is lots of game glamour. Game glamour. Got dinosaurs, sword games, Primal Carnage Extinction, Berserkers, we got bears out of control, rabid pandas. Hi. Under a Kickstarter. I just ask about it actually. Is it an Australian game?
Yes, it is. We're based in Canberra.
Yeah? Berserkers, yeah?
Yeah, Berserkers.
Hi, I'm Sonia from Joy 94.9, and your name is?
I'm Parisa. I'm the texture artist in Berserkers.
Okay. Oh, wow. Cool. And you're?
I'm Tom. I'm the designer and character artist for the game.
Oh, great. So you come from Brisbane?
No, I'm from Queensland, but we're all developing in Canberra at the moment.
At Canberra?
Canberra-based team.
Yeah. Oh, neat.
And Berserkers is a local multiplayer game where you're trying to manipulate a bear AI to kill the other players while you escape. So you're trying to trap other players with the bear and then run away.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Is it some sort of zombie virus, or what's caused this berserk?
Bears just really hate armadillos in our game.
Okay.
Yeah. If you want to try it out or have a look at
I don't have time. Sorry about that. But So you funded it with Kickstarter?
Yeah.
It was quite successful.
Well, we had a Kickstarter earlier this year, around July. We just reached our target, and that allowed us to bring on some more artists and stuff for the team, which has really helped us in the last few months. But otherwise, we've been working in our four-person team for free until, like, the game is shipped. So.
How long?
About, like, a year or so, and we're going to be, like, releasing early next year.
Oh, yeah. Cool.
Yeah.
All right. And so you guys are on the net. How can people find out about Berserk?
So if you go to Wildgrass Games, or just search for Berserkers in Google, you'll find us there in the top results. We're also going to be launching on Steam early next year, as Parisa said. But then we're bringing it over to consoles, at least onto Sony and Nintendo stuff so far.
Yeah. Oh, well, congratulations. I hope you have a good time. It's going to be a busy 3 days.
Yeah, you too.
Yeah, cool. Bye.
Hey, this is Fran Kranz, Joss Whedon's Basil, and you're listening to Sci-Fi and Squeam on 94.9.
Hello, this is Jeff Marslet, the director of the film Mars, and you are listening to Sci-Fi and Squeam on Joy 94.9.
From Joy 94.9,
yep.
And this is Exitus, is that right? So what was your name?
My name is Jamie.
Jamie?
Yep.
What is Exitus?
So Exitus is a real-life escape room experience.
Yep.
So you and your friends are locked in a room, and you have a series of clues and puzzles to solve in order to escape within 45 minutes. And there's five different scenarios to choose from. So the first one, as you can see around us, is a prison break.
Okay.
So you and your friends are locked up and you believe you're innocent, so you have 45 minutes to escape before the prison guard comes and does his nightly check.
Right.
We also have an Egyptian one named Entombed, where you discover Tutankhamun's tomb.
Yeah.
And you have 45 minutes to escape before you're cursed for life.
Oh, okay.
We also have a casino heist. So you and your friends are professional criminals. You break into the casino and you have 45 minutes in order to find the safe, crack the code, get all the money. And also we have the Apollo mission. So you and your friends are up in space, you have 45 minutes to get back down.
So yeah, it's about 45 minutes.
So 45 minutes.
So what happens if you don't? What's the Apollo one?
Then you run out of oxygen.
Oh. Yeah. And that's it.
And that's it. That's it. Game over.
That's game
literally.
Over.
Yeah.
Wow. So where is this from? It's Australian.
Yeah.
These are actually popping up all over the world, the escape room experience. But Exodus itself is a Australian brand, yeah.
It will be team building, small teams.
It will, exactly.
What's the biggest teams?
So each room is between 2 and 8 people.
Yep. Right.
It's up to you, you can choose. And if you've got a group of maybe 8, you can even split them into 2 groups of 4 and book out 2 different rooms.
Right.
Yeah.
Cool.
Okay, so go to www.exodus.com.au.
That's exactly it. You got it.
Doing your job. Cool. Hey, thanks a lot for speaking to us.
No problem.
Cheers.
See ya.
Good luck.
This is Scott and Chris. Chris and Scott. And you're listening to Sci-Fi and Squeam on 94.9.
Hi, I'm Terry Callaghan from Geek Girl Con, and you're listening to Sci-Fi and Squeam.
Okay.
All right, it's pretty cool to get a clap before we've even started. All right, so welcome everyone to the Women Games panel for PAX 2014. For those who don't know me, I run IGDA Sydney, which is the International Game Developers Association. So it's a group for game developers to kind of meet up and learn from each other. But I'm also a programming teacher at AIE. So I don't know much you know about programmers, but I'm one of those typical ones that's really bad at art. And so these slides look terrible because I can't do art to save my life. I'm also more of a doing person than a talking person. So what I wanted to do with this panel was focus on what we can do about various issues around women in games. I kind of wanted to focus more on the things we could do to change the way we approach some problems, the way we kind of approach gaming in general, rather than focusing on a lot of what the problems are and dissecting them and why and blaming who is doing what. I'm not very interested in that part of it. I'm much more interested in what we can do, all of us, to try and help things along. However, I can understand some people don't understand what some of those issues are, and we're not here to judge those people at all whatsoever. So the elephant in the room is unfortunately Gamergate. So I just wanted to get that out of the road right here. The panel's not about Gamergate. It's not a reaction to Gamergate. Submitted the panel submission months and months and months ago. And so while we will be talking about some issues that kind of have been on the edge of Gamergate, we're not actually talking about ethics in games journalism or any of the other various blanket things, whatever, any of the other things concerning Gamergate. So if you do have a question about that, come talk to me privately afterwards. I want to make sure we're focusing on actions that we can take rather than arguing in circles, which seems to happen every time Gamergate's mentioned. So now that's out of the road. The next thing I want to talk about was that the burden of like solving women in games is always placed on women for some reason, which seems kind of silly because there's only like 10% of women in the industry, and it's like a lot of work for 10% of people to do. And so hence I fought very hard to have a mix of genders on the panel. And so here we have a panel that is not just females saying this is, you know, this is how it's going to change. Hey, men, this is how we're going to do it. It's about working together to kind of figure out what we can do, and that was really important. So we'd actually just ran this panel as well at the industry event, GCAP. So I focus much more about industry issues, but I think here we've got more of a gaming focus, so coming approaching this as a gamer. So first thing I want to talk about was player harassment. It's like 63% of women who play online receive harassment, and it's often sexual in nature, which is a little bit different from the way males receive harassment.
So a while back, I used to work on the 1 vs 100 for Xbox Live project, and as part of that, we had this unfortunate little issue where occasionally somebody with a really offensive username would get to be the one. So we had to have access to the tools. Well, the fun side effect of that was that Halo 3 was out kind of shortly thereafter. I still had access to that tool. So I would play with my microphone on, and I would warn people. I'd say, hey, guys, not cool. It's against the terms of service. You really shouldn't be doing this. And it was only in really egregious situations. But, you know, I had one guy follow me around for over 5 minutes calling me a fag, because I obviously couldn't be a girl. So I told him to enjoy his 1 week vacation from Xbox Live, and I heard a huh, and then he flipped offline.
That's that's amazing. those of us who don't have like massive ban hammers on Xbox Live, though, are there any other things we can do? Like, what kind of processes are there for people to come through and say, "Whoa, this is really horrifying"? Like, how does that work generally? I don't play any online games, so I'm just going to throw this question out there. Yeah, I was just saying before to Mary that most online gaming I've ever done is like online. Uncle. So I'm not really sure how that works. Like, what do you do when someone is harassing you? Is there, you said before that you could mute people. Do you also report them, or do you just mute them and move on?
Just mute and report. Like, if you're in a competition, and like especially community and stuff, it's good to raise awareness so people know to like take note of who these people are and to stay away from interacting with them if there's a potential negativity there. And, yeah, like, when you ban them from communities and stuff, you allow them to come back after a bit and see if they change or not.
Yeah.
I'm making a game about bullying and self-esteem, so we really like the people who really like our game. So I think we're doing something right there because...
Yeah.
I think the nature of your game is going to affect the nature of your players, and you do have to think about that, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't play it online because I couldn't handle the trash talking and stuff, but my 17-year-old plays it. Obviously, as a parent, yeah, you know, I really worry about what she's going to encounter.
Yeah. And have there been any experiences there, positive or negative, towards the way that works? Is this in League of Legends?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, she's got the whole... She gets the full gamut, like,
yeah.
But she tends to play, she doesn't like identify as female, she doesn't play with her headset, and so you avoid the worst of it that way.
Yeah.
I just say, while that is something that can work, I'm uncomfortable with promoting that as a solution. That whole idea that's not a criticism. I'm just saying it is something that a lot of people will say, like, and a lot of people who don't really understand and aren't terribly sympathetic will say, well, why do you have to be, you know, why do you have to be obviously female? Why do you have to have a female name? Why do you, you know, just don't use voice chat and don't make yourself a target, which is, of course, classic victim blaming. I like to talk more about, positive ways in which we can let people actually express themselves and be themselves online and not have to worry about becoming targets of that sort of thing, as opposed to trying to, the equivalent of telling them, you know, not to wear revealing clothing or...
Mm.
Or
well, not, but maybe yeah. that's the responsibility of the people running the community and not the 17-year-old girl who just wants to play LOL.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
and off of that, I would say that any sort of community situation, establishing ground rules for what is and is not acceptable behavior is a must-have. You cannot skimp on doing that with your title. And what that does is it actually empowers other players who are good players who want to help this great community evolve, be able to point to something external from themselves to say, hey, it's not cool because you just broke rule number 2. They have something to point at that doesn't put all of the pressure on themselves. So those players will actually do some of your work for you. If you don't have those ground rules there for them to point at, they have to be so much braver and they have to stand for it all on their own without the support of the rest of the community. Just by having, you know, the 10 commandments of the community, you're really helping out your players.
All right, I think we are actually out of time now. On that note, thank you very much for coming in, everyone.
This is Lolita Faggio, script coordinator for Next Generation, Deep Space Nine, and Voyager, and I'm here today with Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9. Thank you.
Who wants this terrestrial?
Thank you.
This is Dante Bosco, the one-time leader of the Lost Boys and the Prince of the Fire Nation, and you're listening to Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9.
And now we're in the open plan area at the convention center here at PAX 2014. We've got the console free play area. There must be close to 50, 60 screens. Incredible. People can just come and play. It's all free. This part of the convention is. The merchandise booth, merch booth. Lots of yellow and white t-shirts with PAX 2014 on them.
Yeah.
And we're heading towards the PC free play and tournament area. Console tournament area, again, free access. Just take a number and book yourself in. And then we've got the classic gaming. Awesome. So they're all played on old school PCs and monitors, including shooting games, target games, very old school, with bean bags, of course. And we're heading towards the tabletop area. Now, Oz Retro Gamer, the Australian Retro Gamer e-zine, and they're online as well. You can head to www.ozretrogamer.com or at Oz Retro Gamer on Twitter. Old school electronics stuff from Mattel, Burger Time by 1982 Mattel. We've got Sega's Loaned Runner. Got a Donkey Kong here. Two-player Donkey Kong. Incredible. It's just amazing. What a very old Space Invaders. Really old. And something called Alien Invaders. More beanbags. Very early Pac-Man. And they're loving it. Amazing. Target Games. Atari 780. Junior Pac-Man. Haven't seen that in a while. Junior Pac-Man Atari 2600. Sonic. Sonic Hedgehog. All the original games. King of the Fighters. Very early Street Fighter. Got stuff here I've never seen before. And all thanks to Oz Retro Gamer. Even the consoles are old school. I think this is one of my favourite areas. I feel at home here. Handheld lounge, just beanbags. Handheld devices where you can load any game onto a device. It's all free Wi-Fi around here too. So people can load up. There's also chargers all around the floors. So people can charge their phones, their apps, games, and tablets. We've got dueling, Magic Gatherings here, of course, Reaper, and the tabletop area. Not so busy yet, but I'm assured tomorrow it will just be going off. Some serious punters here already, getting ready for games. It's going to be an X-Wing miniature tournament. All sorts. And of course there's Twitter postages everywhere, signages. People can tweet and you can see your tweet or you can send a message. More tabletop. We're talking maybe 100, 120 tables,
15 seats each, 10 to 15 chairs per table. Like I said, it's not very full right now, but it is only Friday. People are shuffling their cards, getting ready, and I'm sure the influx, I'm sure it's going to be incredibly busy over the long weekend. And it's almost a very long weekend for Melbourne because we have got Tuesday public holiday. Sadly, PAX won't be here then. So we've got tables upon tables. Well, it's an exceptional venue. It's just perfect. It's space, high ceilings, concrete, but safe and open and well air conditioned. Everyone looks very chilled out. So yes, we'll be covering more PAX during the weekend. On Saturday, Dillstick, aka Dylan Adler, and I will be here. Maybe we'll play some games. Who knows? We'll go to some panels. Well, I will. Because we've got some LGBTIQ panels coming up this afternoon, and also tomorrow and Sunday. So we'll be back at PAX Saturday for Joy 94.9 for Sci-Fi and Scream. So the atmosphere's really positive. And we've got a good mix of the genders, and that is a good thing to see. Everyone looks chillax. More packs coming soon. This is Sonia on Joy 94.9 for Sci-Fi and Scream.
Hi, I'm Tony Amendola, and I want to welcome you to Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.